There are interesting people in disc golf, and there are boring people in disc golf. Here's one of each on the Fish Golf Broadcast. On this episode of the Fish Golf Broadcast, another repeat guest is probably coming back to execute a very clumsy coup. Zach Melton, what you thinking about, and how are you overthrowing this podcast?
I'm just really happy to be back on my own podcast. It's great. Haven't been back in a couple, like a month? Mm-hmm. Month and a half? It feels good. It's like I'm at home, you know? It's great. Ready to do this thing.
Okay. So do you have any, like, production directions for me?
Just keep bringing me back on the pod. I'm pretty sure, looking at the numbers that I have in front of me right now, you know, the numbers are off the charts when I'm on. You know, that really speaks to itself, you know?
Yeah, well into three figures.
Yeah, give the people what they want. Mm-hmm.
So you told me that while you were driving, you were listening to the Raven Klein Q&A episode, and that really struck you. As I've noted multiple times, I'm trying to avoid Q&A being the default format for this show because I like having a more organic conversation than the structure of a Q&A, but Zach, you solicited some questions on whatever the fuck Twitter is.
It's. I think you can just pick a random letter from the alphabet, and you can go with that. What are we calling it, B today?
Yes. Yeah. When I raise $44 billion of capital, that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to aggressively change the name one letter at a time.
Yeah, just change it once a month. Why not?
Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm not going to redirect anything. So here's a question that came up, and we were unable to we're going to be unable to answer all of these because who's got the time?
Yeah. Can I hit you with mine first, though? I do have one for you.
It is your podcast.
I mean, it's funny. You mentioned, you know, that the episode with you and Raven. I just want to know, why do you both hate root beer floats?
I feel like we got out in front of this.
No. I listened to that whole episode, and all I heard was you guys talk for like 10 minutes about how you didn't hate them, but you actually do. That's all I heard was, I hate them.
That's what you heard. That's not what was said.
It was clear. The people know. You guys hate them. And someone might have said they're overrated, and I almost pulled over the car. Couldn't believe it.
Wrecked the car out of spite. So just to be clear, we are litigating the goodness of something that has milk and sugar in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are two excellent ingredients.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you guys are eating them wrong. Maybe. It's possible.
Yeah, yeah. I often have had technical difficulties eating things that are semi-solid and semi-liquid.
Do you use a spoon, or are you just straw only and wait for it to melt? Oh. Dude, got to use a spoon and, like, get, because, like, the ice cream, it's like the root beer, like, attaches itself to the ice cream, you know? It's almost, I mean, you got to use a spoon.
Well, go,
yeah.
Tell me more.
Uh-huh. And then, like, you know, once you get most of the ice cream done, you can kind of, like, mix it up, and then it creates, like, this really creamy drink in the bottom. It's incredible. Then you use the straw, finish it off. Whew, so good. It's very refreshing. It might be Calvin Heinberg's, like, is one of his top three favorite things in the world. No cap. Not even making this one up, like, that this is my podcast.
Does he actually get excited about it?
Yes. So, I didn't go to Des Moines this year. I was hurt. Wasn't playing. But there is, like, an A&W, because I don't know if you remember this. You were going to Des Moines. I said, go to A&W, get a root beer float. You said, no. That was it. It made me laugh.
Yeah, I've never replied no to you on Twitter before.
No. But I was like, no, really. It's like a throwback to, like, the 1980s. Like, you sit down in the booth, there's a phone that you pick up and you order from. And then a lady 40 feet away picks up the other end, you know, the other phone, and then writes your order in. And, yeah, we went, like, I think 4 times last year to get root beer floats. Mainly because of Calvin and Macy Valdez, mainly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is a diversion, and I'm going to try to steer you off.
Yeah,
of this.
I know. I really knew I was going to bring this up, but sorry.
Yeah. So our production meeting is Zach posting on Twitter and then saying, hey, Fish, which questions do you like? Write them down for me. And then you just, like, spitballing this one in here. This is his premeditation.
Yes. This is how it's my pod.
High effort podcast here. And if you hear background noise, last week's episode was done in a Waffle House. This week's episode is done with an active, is this one-on-one? Can you tell me what's happening back?
We got three guys, and yeah. I think they're playing 21.
Okay.
So, like, whoever's got the ball, it's like one-on-two, basically. Okay. And so I've seen, like, eight air balls.
Let's narrate a play here.
The most unathletic kid in the group.
Gray shirt, can only use his right hand.
And he can only go right. Oh, stopped. Oh. The big can't dribble with the left. He's going left, dribbling right. Okay, back to the right.
Big boy with good defensive positioning.
He's got the best defense of the group. And then he gets...
Sweatpants is just cherry-picking under the rim.
He's just hoping for an air ball so he can score. Wow.
Trying to force left.
I think they're out here working on their games, though. Oh, man. I couldn't tell if he shot with his left or his right.
It was both. It was the Joakim Noah spin.
It was both.
It's also possible you hear county fair noise. Mm-hmm. I think there was a monster truck or something going earlier.
Yeah, they have monster trucks.
Pro monster truck podcast
like
here.
Like legit, yeah.
And possibly also people driving by. Who knows if they're going to heckle. Mostly heckle Zach. Nobody cares about me.
I've already been yelled at once, so right. It will happen.
Cat called. Mm-hmm. Zach called. I think it's important to have restaurants where different methods of ordering occur.
Yeah.
You know, picking up a phone and calling somebody is a marvelous throwback, as is roller skating out to the car, something like that.
Yeah, that Sonic, that's pretty unique. I like it.
Okay, good yes and. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go to a couple questions here. If you were able to tweak an existing mold, an example is the Z-Mac Truth or something like that, mm-hmm. What do you think you would do? How would you try to customize an existing mold to make it better for your game?
Better for my game. Okay. I like that. So, I mean, people ask all the time, like, oh, so-and-so plays for this company. He's being held back. I'm like, honestly, I truly believe everyone makes good discs. And I truly believe there's like 80 to 90 very talented disc golfers that could play with anything. I think everyone can play with whatever disc they have.
And you can look at that and see that very few players have a severe drop-off when they switch companies.
Yeah, I mean, people pick it up very quick. They're like, oh, you know, it took me a little bit of time to learn my new bag this offseason. Like, no. People get their new discs, they go out and they shred. Like, everyone makes good discs. Everyone has discs that are similar to something that they liked previously or whatever. But with my bag specifically right now, let's see. I really like the beaded putter feel. I do. And I throw a premium plastic judge, but I kind of wish, this might be a hot take, I might get killed by the warden people, but I kind of wish my judge, I could tweak it to where I still had the beaded feel, but it was just dead straight out of the box without having to beat it up. That would be nice, because if it was like that, I probably wouldn't need a flippy thrower and a stable thrower. Like, I would just rock the one, and I could pretty much make it do anything. But I like throwing putters, and so, yeah, that would be good.
Sure. Yeah. For my part, I really like flat-topped wasps,
mm-hmm.
and it feels like it's been a little bit since I've gotten one of those that actually flies stable.
I had a really good wasp, like 2012. I had a really good Z wasp, super flat, beefy, and went far. That thing was nice. Not to, you know, sorry, DD, but I'm just saying, I'm being objective. It was a very good mid.
Yeah. Even 11 years later, you're still thinking about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, my memory is absolute shit with everything, but like disc golf, I remember everything. So, unfortunate when it comes to today's rounds, but you know, what doesn't kill us makes us stronger.
Next question.
Okay.
This is going to be a series that's not even about you. Like, this is just pure access journalism. We're going through Zach to get to Calvin.
All right.
Why is Calvin your best friend?
Man, that's such...
Is he even your best friend?
You know, I mean, probably just because, you know, we're so mean to everyone else that we just really don't have any other friends.
Off.
Yeah, it's kind of like just us left, which is, you know, I guess by default. No, he was such a nice kid when I met him. He was quiet, you know, he had a little shit talk to him, but like real quiet, real subtle. And some would say I've ruined him. Some would say that he's way cooler now, you know? I mean, I'd like to think it's the latter, but You know, just from day one, we just hit it off, man. The kid's hilarious, you know? And the first time I met him and played with him, it was Throw It on the Mountain, I think 2014. And Kobe Geis is on the card.
Okay.
You
another
know Kobe.
Homie.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And he doesn't really know me, but I know Kobe well. So he walks up to Kobe. He's got like this 40-foot death putt. And he walks up and he says, layups are for... And he says a word that I don't want to use in case mom watches this, you know? So I don't want to use it, but you kind of get the drift. He's roasting people that lay up.
Mm-hmm.
And then proceeds to go lay up his butt. He wanted to make it, and then his body just shut down, and he laid up. And as he walked by, I might have called him that word, you know? Even though I don't know him. Might have been the first word I said to him, and pretty much been homies ever since.
It's good to start a fight with strangers.
Yeah. I think it's the best way to see if you and someone else are going to get along, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, people like to tiptoe the line. I say just jump over the line and see if the line moves with you. With, you know, sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't.
The first time I ever met Phil DeLaunay, the first words I said to him were, "Your piss jug says otherwise." Because it was a hot day at a tournament, and he was talking about, like, having to stay hydrated. And I think he had Gatorated up a full gallon jug and was carrying it with him. But that thing was yellow. And, I didn't know him at all, but it just slipped out while we were on the putting green. And
yeah. And y'all are good. I try to encourage. I have a few FPO friends, you know, not going to name drop. It's cool. People like me, but I try to encourage them. Like, dude, just let it fly, man. You can say stuff and laugh and have a good time. They're like, no, you can't say that over here. I'm like, you really can. And then if they don't like it, just don't anymore. But you can definitely say it. Like, try, you know, but they, I don't know.
Another question that had come up was, like, do you ever think of getting off tour and just going to play with your friends on courses you want to play, et cetera, et cetera? And honestly, dude, like, the best rounds that I play are when it's, like, you and me and Charles Bearhorst and Cody Bradshaw and, like, Dylan Horst. All these guys who are...
And Hammer if he's playing bad.
Yeah. That's the best state, that's so best fun. State to get him in. It's, like, it's so much easier and low stakes to play tournament rounds with your friends that just feel like casual rounds.
Yeah.
Like, cutting up and having a good time, even if you're on the second or third card.
Bro, even if you, like, I don't know. We've all been on cards. I feel like they're dudes that just take themselves way too seriously. And it's not like we're not serious about what our goal is. Like, our objective is to go out and play the best round we can. But, like, I feel like you have to try to enjoy yourself. That's like, if you enjoy yourself, you're going to play better more often than not. It's just, man, I honestly wonder... Like, half the people we play with, if they even like disc golf. Or if they just do it because they're good at it. I do wonder that sometimes.
I don't know. Like, I think cynically, a lot of people are, like, just doing it for the money.
Mm-hmm.
And because they don't want to work another job.
Yeah. I mean, it's very possible.
Leading into another question. I'm sorry. I didn't finish that previous line of questioning.
My bad.
So we're gonna put a little star right here, and then we're going to come right back to it.
Sweet.
So this is like an alternate timeline we're going to walk down here.
All right. Like, removed an infinity stone, branches off.
I actually don't understand that reference.
Okay,
like,
but it is correct.
I know it's from a thing.
Yeah, some
and
people
I don't
will
know
that,
that
we just said the same thing, even though you don't understand. It is true.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So this is also a lesson to everyone that you can make pop culture references that I don't get, and I'm either going to tell you I don't get that, or I'm going to lie through my teeth and just, like, smile and nod along.
Mm-hmm.
Why does he, meaning Calvin, not have a beard like you?
The simplest answer is some people don't have it.
They don't have the follicle density.
He just doesn't have it.
No.
Yeah. He can, like, he can try.
He doesn't want it enough, probably.
That's problem one. Two, he doesn't have it. He gets this, you know, wicked little chin scruff, you know, but that's pretty much all he's got. Little bit of a stash. You know, he kind of looks more like a real dirt bag when he grows it out, so he tries to keep it shaved.
And as thin as he is, he's going to get accused of, like, being on meth or something, right?
Yeah. I mean, he kind of looks like a badass for a second, you know, for a day or two, and then it gets like, dude, shave, you know?
Yeah. Now, there are a handful of players like Colton Montgomery or Mason Ford who have tried it with a little bit of thin scruff.
Yeah, and then they look homeless.
Sometimes it works. More often, nah.
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 Yeah. I think probably in both instances, Val and Kona were like, shave that shit off or we're leaving you. And so they're like, oh yeah, it's gone.
That's the best part about being single is mm-hmm. I dictate my own facial hair.
Yeah.
And I guess at this point you're just like entrenched and locked down and you have a house, you have cats. So like there's a lot of baggage that would be difficult to dispense with over facial hair as a flashpoint.
Real quick, shout out to homie in the sweatpants.
Yep.
Just realized he's wearing a Harden jersey or a hard James Harden t-shirt.
Tell me he's jacking threes.
He just shot a fadeaway three, air ball. Off. It just, then I realized he was wearing number 13. I'm like, there we go. There we go.
All right. The branding is strong, even at this level. And finally, another question from that same person and another one. Do you think there are enough courses that are made for lefties?
No. Short answer, no.
Please elaborate.
Yeah, I think slowly we're seeing, like occasionally you're seeing, okay, someone wants to design a course that's difficult for pros, right? And nowadays, most people, they throw a country mile. You know, these kids are bombing. They're crushing. They throw forehands. They throw backhands. They run every putt from like 100 and in. And, you know, for a while, I think all we've seen on tour is like, oh, we need to make it harder. Let's make it longer. And you don't really see scores get worse. People are still shredding. But I think I've seen it a couple cases where they're like, okay, what makes it hard? And like shots maybe in the woods or that bend and finish right at a longer distance. And I think those set up for lefty sometimes. But generally it's like maybe 4 to 5 holes around, you know, or on a course. That's pretty typical, you know.
And I think the several years ago design aesthetic was, oh, we got to throw a lefty hole in here somewhere.
And it'll be 280 to 300 feet, and it's like a little to the right. And like, bro, if they can throw a turnover putter, that's not a lefty hole.
Yeah, but there is very, very rarely 425 water carry lefty hole.
Correct. Correct. But there are a lot of those going to the left.
Sure.
Unfortunately, but, you know. That's the nature of the beast. Majority of people are right-handed. They go out and they design stuff that they see. But it'd be nice to see a little more, you know, a little more equality on the course design. Let's see, you know, let's try. I'd like to see course design get better in general. I'd like to see, okay, let's really do our best to challenge the best players in the world. Minus, let's just make a 1,000-foot par four.
Yeah, that's a pretty common sentiment.
Yeah.
Like, pros want harder and better courses.
Yes.
I don't think that all of us have exactly the same tactics to get to that point, and not all of us should be the designers.
No.
Some people's opinions are completely self-serving.
Yes.
And therefore, in my opinion, invalid.
Yes. I've heard enough people's thoughts on the Idlewild course. We're not going to get into it, but just to know that, yeah, I don't want them designing a course.
I'm Thomas Gilbert, and I listen to the Fish Golf Broadcast while I'm traveling to the next stop.
Hey guys, I'm Clint Calvin, and I listen to the Fish Golf Broad DC cast while I stretch out after the round.
If you like where this show is headed, stick around for part two. We'll never barrage you with 11 minutes of droning external ads to start the show. So please support the Fish Golf Broadcast by visiting discgolfbra.com for hats and other apparel. Fish stamp discs are available at fishdiscgolf.com and daddydiscgolf.com, and you can save 10% on upperparkdiscgolf.com with the code Andrew10 on backpacks and other items. And now, more lies and outrageous claims from our guest, met with calm reason by Fish.
All right, we're going back to that point in history.
Sweet.
All right.
We put the Infinity Stone back.
Great.
Same time on. We're back.
Okay. Yeah. So resuming that timeline. This is from Ace Run Pro on Twitter.
Yes.
And in my opinion, that makes the context of this question pretty important because Ace Run Pro, like Gatekeeper Media, look at that dog. There is a boxer,
head
out the window.
Dude, that tongue is like 8 inches out of his mouth. Just so happy.
And both front paws fully out the car.
That's a 10 out of 10.
Absolutely. That like...
I envy him.
That dog is living it up.
I want to be that happy on the disc golf course.
I want to be that happy smelling corn dogs as I drive by the fair.
That's good.
So Ace Run Pro has been doing the FPO chase card coverage.
Correct.
And usually not getting that many views because Jomez has a lot of the market share.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of frustrating from my perspective because Gatekeeper often will have really, really good players on their card. Yes. And have good production value.
Yes.
But it's kind of everyone wants to see Jomez. And that creates a vicious cycle where some people and some brands are perceived as more marketable just because they had a market share to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So all that to say, I strongly encourage everyone to go watch Ace Run Pro's coverage of the FPO Chase card.
Absolutely.
Because there are some excellent golfers deep into the field every mm-hmm. single week.
There are a lot of good disc golfers. I stress this to people a lot. So many good disc golfers on both sides that you may not see that weekend who is out there putting down good rounds. You know, like there's so many talented disc golfers. People, they will look, you know, like on the MPO side, I think like around 47, 48th place, like that's typically cash line, somewhere around there, that ballpark, right?
And yeah, and that means fucking 10, 20.
Yeah, that means there's 40 of us who are very good at what we do, who had one bad round maybe out of three, and they don't cash that week. It's insane.
And it also means that there's 40 people who are cashing, who are averaging above 10, 20.
Yes.
Who didn't make coverage that week.
Yeah, it's crazy. People are like, oh, he got 50th. He's not good. I'm like, you go play him for $100 on a course because he's going to smoke you. Yeah, sorry.
No, so Ace Run's question is, what do you do when disc golf becomes too much of a job versus your passion? How do you reset that mentality?
That's a great question. I think from my perspective, I see a lot of people get burnt out. A lot of people, because they hit the road in February and they don't go home till October, and they play every weekend. Basically what's happened is that you need to be at every event, every elite, every silver, every major, because if you miss time, if you take time to yourself, you say, I need a break, you lose points, you lose money. And it's just everyone plays every event. And I think that's why we see a lot of people kind of lose it sometimes. Kind of have like a little break, like a mental break, it seems, or you hear guys screaming on the course or playing way out of the norm. And it's just unfortunate. So, got him. But yeah, I think it's important to have something on the side that you can do to get away from disc golf. Like, because disc golf is our job now. Like you, like me, disc golf was very fun and we liked playing and we got good at it. And now it's our job. And so there's a little bit of fun lost. I think it's important to try to have fun on the course when you play. It's just like today I had a really bad round, round one Idlewild. This is where we're filming. Aaron Gossage was on my card. Spoiler alert, he shot 12. He's tied for the lead. He played great. And he told me after the round, he said, hey man, I know you had some tough breaks and it didn't go your way, but you kept it positive and that was awesome. And I respect the hell out of that. And I mean, I'm not being that way so someone will tell me good job and pat my hand, but I know like we're all out there trying, and so I'm not gonna, you know, tear others down or affect their rounds if it's not going my way. That's just, so keep it positive. We had a good card, we had good vibes, and then having something on the side, like a good amount of us have started playing pickleball. Very fun activity to go do. I mean, if you have a bad round on the course, go find courts and you just get to go smack the shit out of a ball, and it's great. You try to hit your buddies, you're talking smack, like We're the equivalent of like intermediate players at pickleball, but it's something fun with no expectations. So just, I think it's important to have stuff like that you can do, you know, relieve stress.
Yeah, absolutely. I think last year, I've said this before on this very podcast that...
My podcast.
Yeah, on Zach's podcast. Yeah. You don't even have a good name for it.
I don't. Shit, I need a name. Guys, I need a name.
Ugh. Ugh. He's logging on to Twitter right now.
Oh, my God.
So last year, I think I jumped on with the expectation of I have all this time to practice now. If I don't play good, like, what was it all for?
Yeah.
And started thinking about the results versus the process.
Yeah.
And that, I think, led to kind of a mental spiral where I was letting anxiety get the best of me and I was overreacting on the course. Like, I can look back and like say that's exactly what was happening, while also knowing that at the time it was like, something's wrong. I'm not enjoying this. Like, yeah. I'm grinding all the time and I'm not getting any better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my skill, how are my skills so good and my play is so bad? This year, I've had little flashes of that, especially when I played, when I signed up for too many tournaments in a row. When I was thinking about points instead of thinking about how do I get to my own peak performance on the weeks that I am playing.
Sure. It's a balance. Trying to find that balance, it's tough.
Definitely. And being able to take a little bit of time at home for myself was a really good reset. Because I got to see some of the friends that I miss while I'm on the road. I got to putt in my own backyard. I got to, like, stock up my own fridge instead of living out of a cooler.
Those things are huge. They're huge.
So I think for us touring players, and I'll reiterate one more time, we are so fortunate to be able to do this. And
yes.
I don't take that lightly. Like,
yes.
Everyone who supports us by buying Frisbees, watching videos, coming out to tournaments to see us, like, thank you. You are a tremendous part of our ability to do this. And we appreciate that.
Yeah, man. I'm always telling people, thank you for the support. Thank you for coming out. Just saying thank you for coming out, because without the fans, man, we're playing C-tiers at home, you know? Like,
right.
This is impossible.
So that's kind of the, like, gratitude mentality. And it can be a conscious or less deliberate practice of that, but it's the same thing as, like, you know what, even if I bogey this hole, that can't hurt me. Like, I'm still out here. I get to determine whether I have fun or not this hole.
Yeah.
Resetting that mentality, I think, requires having those outside of disc golf activities where you're not just fixated on the most consequential 3 hours of your day.
Yeah.
And having a really good network of friends that you travel or practice with, who can help kind of talk you through those little mental battles that come up. And that's not just true on the road. That's true
in life.
Like, if you're having trouble at work, it's nice to have some allies there that you can, you know, kind of squawk about your boss or about the hours you're getting or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If you're having trouble at home, like, you need to be able to talk to your partner about that as well.
Yeah. It's really tough, I think, because we're you know, you're alone on the course. It's just you. And when you play a bad round, it throws doubt. Mentally, it's just more mentally tough on you, I think, than anything. And it's so easy to just want to retreat and just go sulk, go be by yourself, and you're just in your own head. And I think just having people you can spend time with, you don't have to say a word about your round. Just having people to go spend time with who are going to be fun to be around, like, you're eventually, it's just, it helps you, I think, not really accept, but it's just like, it's going to be okay, you know? It's okay that you play bad. That's all right.
Mm-hmm. And I think I see this out of young players in particular. Like, they'll have one really good tournament, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they'll go into the next tournament, and at the first sign of trouble, it's just a crater.
Yes.
Where a human should be.
Uh-huh, yeah. Yes, they're like, why isn't it like this every week? And it's like, well, it's golf. It's never going to be like the same every week. If everything was as easy and the same, it's like we'd all shoot 18, and we'd all tie for first, and we'd all split all the money. You know, it's not like that. There are no givens. I crack up when I hear people like, well, my rating was like, it doesn't matter what you're rated. If you don't show up and play well, you will get beat by someone who does. It doesn't matter. Like, in that moment, it doesn't matter if you're 980 or 1030. Anybody can beat anybody on the course.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't show up, and they do.
Tell me about a time you showed up at a B tier, 30 points higher rated than the next person, and still got whomped.
Oh, man. What is this in reference to? I might have forgot it.
Oh, I'm not saying anything in particular.
Okay.
Like,
I'm sure it happened.
That's exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It's like... One of the guys who taught me how to play, you know, I learned from. It's like, he was real stuck on, well, I'm the highest rate at this tournament. I should win. It's like, and I've always thought, like, no. If you don't play well, someone will, and they will whoop you, you know?
That's the projection of the ratings,
mm-hmm.
but...
There are no givens.
No.
Nothing's earned. Or, like, nothing's given. Like, you have to earn it every week.
That's how you've been playing over the last year.
Yeah.
And I tell you...
It's an average of your past year. It has nothing to do with your skills today, Friday at Idlewild.
For
know?
Sure. And yeah. And very frequently there will be some kid who started playing 2 years ago who's been outplaying this rating since he started.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here's a question that, geez, I have... Hold my hand.
All right, I got you.
What steps do you take to physically prepare for tournaments and prevent injury during them?
Oh my gosh, did they just want to piss me off?
Yeah, I think they did.
Oh, man. I think one of the best things that's happened with the Pro Tour is having Disc Golf Strong you know, Seth be out here with us. He's on my phone as Seth the Genius. Just like he's got the answer for everything. But having that, I think, like preparing for rounds, because like warming up is so huge. Like, it's not just show up 20 minutes before your tee time, throw a couple putts, jump on the course. It's like you have to like physically get your body warmed up to go do, because we don't play like 4,000 foot C-tier courses anymore. Like, we're out here on 9, 10, 12, like long, physically demanding courses, throwing physically demanding shots. So I think warming up is huge. And honestly, I think you got to have a little good luck if just keeping it real. Like, there was a little pebble on the tee pad at Waco that I did not sweep off the tee. And I step on it, my foot rolls right when I throw, torn lateral meniscus. Been out for 3.5 months. Like, I mean, it's just bad luck.
And we can kind of run down and see, like, eagle, 360 forehand attempt just during a shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not even on the course.
And then he was out for a while, came back. Guess what? He hurt it again. He had to miss time. He comes back. Like, I don't wish this, but there's a chance he's never the same. Like, there's no given that you're, like, Paige. Used to be one of my best friends, lover, one of the best female disc golfers ever, maybe the best ever. You know, and she got hurt in Europe. And, like, dude, there's no given that she'll be able to come back and do exactly what she used to do. You know, that's... I'm playing now. I have the... Where I missed 3.5 months, is I'm just very happy to be out at the same time, mentally dealing with not playing as well as I want. So, you know, having that back and forth. But when you lose something, man, you just get perspective of it. It's not, nothing is given. Like, it can be taken away. So just be thankful. And, you know, you need a little bit of luck. You need a little bit of luck to not get, you know, have something happen. You really do.
Yeah, absolutely. From my perspective, I've had the good fortune to not really get hurt playing disc golf. Like, occasionally the little, you know, nagging injury, like, mm-hmm. Oh, calf pull this week. Or
sure.
Something.
Yeah.
All of my other stuff has been, you know, running or playing ultimate or, you know, other stuff. I think it's very critical that we as disc golfers treat ourselves like athletes. And many are, by going to Planet Fitness and lifting weights and doing mobility exercises.
Eating beans.
You can eat beans if you need to. And programs like Disc Golf Strong are a really good introductory way to do that. That's applicable even if you're not playing on the pro tour. Like, mm-hmm. you can get something out of that just by thinking about how your body is supposed to move in a non-disc golf context as well. I added significant distance, and I felt less instability in my hips when I started, or not started, when I did a much more regular weightlifting routine. Just the basic Olympic lifts.
Sure. But it helped.
And then, like, rolling every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like stretching, self-massage, band exercises. Like, I'm trying to spend about an hour and a half minimum per day doing that sort of thing.
Band exercises are huge for me, like getting the lower body warmed and ready to go, mm-hmm. you know, and rolling afterwards and before, like that stuff's just, all that adds up. It really does.
Yeah. And an hour and a half works for me. If that doesn't work for you, like, there are 10-minute ways that you can work on your core, or like, you can, while you're washing dishes, put a band around your knees and like try to activate your glutes, like put it around your ankles and step back and forth, do some like squatting exercises with that.
For anyone who doesn't know, glutes means your butt.
Yeah,
your booty.
I've said before, this is a butt positive podcast.
Yes, no butt shaming.
Yeah, we're all about the butts here.
Yeah.
And so, Zach, Was it a difficult reckoning with your injury and recovery that if you didn't get to go back to pro disc golf, there's just like a fucking 10-year void on your resume?
Yeah.
Where you have to justify what a professional disc golfer does day to day?
Yeah, I really didn't think about that till just now when you asked. Man, it's great. Great question. I mean, I'm sure I'll just make up something on the spot, you know, like, I'm an injured vet. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. I take it back.
This is the only Stolen Valor Disc Golf podcast.
So sorry. Thank you for those who served. that's a great question. I mean, you got to explain that one. It's like, no, really, really, I know. It sounds crazy.
I lived out of a Kia Soul and didn't feel bad about it.
Yeah, it was nice. When I got it, it was nice.
All right. Well, that's our Q&A. Zach, do you have anything else to add at this time?
You know, just give root beer floats another try, you know? Maybe a homemade one? Maybe Calvin can
make
one for you?
If Calvin makes me a root beer float, I'm pouring that out. I don't know what else he put in it.
Yeah, I wouldn't trust it.
Okay. Yeah. If you enjoyed Zach's podcast.
Thank you guys for coming to my pod.
And want to talk to somebody very happily, compliment the production value, root for James Harden in sweatpants over here.
He is losing.
Where can
so
folks
bad.
Find you?
I'm on all the socials, Instagram, Twitter, or X, or whatever the hell it's going to be named next month. Facebook. You know, I try to respond to everybody's messages. I get a lot of messages, a lot of DMs, a lot of people replying to stories. I do my best. Still miss some, but yeah, we're out here. You know, shout out to the sponsors, Dynamic Discs, Dr. Christie Disc Dyes, Thermor Disc Golf Store, Discura. I don't know if you saw Macy was rocking her new jersey today.
I did
on
not
coverage.
See that.
Looks really good. Discura's hooking it up with some sweet jerseys. Yeah, but just appreciate the support. Everything, any little thing is awesome for us. It means a lot.
And if you hated the podcast and want to complain, you can find the guest on Instagram and whatever the fuck Twitter is at fish58320.
Yeah.
And someone's about to break into your car.
Oh, no. Got it.
Okay. It's some some big goofy looking guy.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Zach. And thank you, Fish, for being the guest.
Thanks, Fish.
That's all for this episode of the Fish Golf Broadcast. But be sure to check out previous episodes and subscribe wherever fine podcasts are sold. Check out Fish Golf Broadcast hats and other apparel at discgolfbra.com and badger your friends until they listen too. Join us next time as I goad yet another guest into starting a fight with another touring player, campsite host, or toll booth attendant on the Fish Golf Broadcast.